You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Tuesday in Berea, the players are off today. Jamie Collins making his way to Cleveland to join the Cleveland Browns and get ready to go to work against the Dallas Cowboys this season. The Browns, good news for those of you who miss it, they get Jamie Collins, a 2015 Pro Bowler, 2015 second-team All-Pro linebacker in the final year of his deal from the New England Patriots. And not only that, that you get good news on Cody Kessler. He has been cleared and will be back at practice this week. Also, Corey Coleman cleared and back at practice this week as well. Today's show, our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics, more reaction to the trade. The Browns, of course, getting Coleman and Kessler back. And call your shot for Indians-Cubs Game 6. What are you doing tonight to watch those games? On the show today, we'll have Mike Reese, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Patriots, to give us the lowdown from the Patriots side on this Collins trade and tell you what kind of player the Browns are getting in him. John Costco from Pro Football Focus at 2 o'clock with some very interesting stats on Jamie Collins. I won't steal his thunder. I've tweeted a lot of them out, but I will let him come in and just know that Pro Football Focus, as an organization, very high on Jamie Collins, the Browns' new linebacker. And we'll tell you why. He's not just an inside linebacker. He is a pass rusher. Wasn't given a lot of opportunities to do it, but his efficiency off the charts. And this is something where I think the Browns are going to capitalize on Collins when he comes here. We'll hear from Corey Coleman, Sir Andrew Gribble for some Tuesdays with Gribbs. We'll also kind of go back through that Jets game. We really didn't do much of that in that one. Talk about the good, the bad in that game as well. So a lot to get to on the show today. But let me just say first, hello, Matt Wilhelm.
Hey, man. It's good to be with you. And an exciting night tonight in Cleveland to have the World Series back here in Believe Land. And I'm sure the bars and restaurants downtown in and around Progressive Field are going to be slamming. Progressive's going to be on fire. And as you said, what are you going to be doing tonight watching this baseball game? Because it's a great opportunity to bring a championship to Cleveland. And I just think, a spotlight on this city in such a positive way is such a great thing for all of us.
I think it is a great thing for everybody, and you'd like to see them be able to come through and deliver at home and wish it. And 216-578-0850, again, 216-578-0850 for you to chime in. We want to know what you're doing for the Tribe as we wish them good luck tonight in Game 6 of the World Series, what you think of the Jamie Collins trade. And let's go now to Mike Reese, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Patriots. We had him on a couple of weeks ago before the Browns and the Patriots. Mike, welcome to the show.
Nathan, Matt, you thought you were done with me, huh?
No, we're happy about this. We're happy to have
ongoing business, I guess.
Listen, if it means we keep getting Pro Bowlers from the Patriots, we'll have you on every week, Mike.
There you go. Yeah, this one certainly came as a shock up here in New England. So curious how it was received out in Cleveland.
Well, you know, it's funny. This is a Browns organization that in many cases, has been, killed for, letting this free agent go, Tashaun Gibson, Mitchell Schwartz, obviously Alex Mack didn't want to be here, et cetera, letting these guys go, not bringing in talent, stripping the roster. And then they bring in a guy who's 27, who was a Pro Bowler last year, second team All-Pro, led the team, the Patriots, in tackles in 14 and 15. And it's, well, if Bill Belichick's getting rid of him, he must be terrible. Now, mm-hmm. I'm sure the Arizona Cardinals would argue Chandler Jones still has some gas left in his tank down there as he's having a fantastic season. But nonetheless, the reaction, not as positive as you would have expected. But I think when you're the Browns and you are, where you are, et cetera, people are skeptical of pretty much everything that goes on. And I think there is some skepticism about this move because it was made with Bill Belichick. I think if it was made with any other team in the NFL, that people would be totally on board, but because the genius would never get rid of anybody who could play in the NFL, even though he has a long track record of doing just that. But what's kind of your take on what happened there with Jamie Collins this year? And obviously, when they – and just kind of give us some insight from the Patriots' perspective.
Sure. Well, this is a complicated one. It's complex. I'll try to, boil it down into the simple, categories here. You have – the football aspect of it, the pure X's and O's, and you have the economic aspect of it with him becoming a free agent. You have the team sort of chemistry culture aspect of it, which is part of it too. But let's start, with the economics, which I actually don't think is the driving factor in this one. Some people have compared it to Chandler Jones trade from in the offseason when that was a clear one where they were like, look, we're not going to be able to keep everyone. Let's get out ahead of this, and we think we can sort of compensate for it, because they could have kept Jamie Collins this year. He wasn't costing much on the cap, and then could have let him walk and basically got the same compensation that they're getting from Cleveland just a year later.
Right.
You know, so I don't think that's as much of a factor, but it's a factor. You know, I mean,
Mike,
the sides.
Can I jump in real quick? Can you confirm for us the reports that they did try to, in fact, sign him to a long-term deal, there were negotiations on that front?
Yeah. I think the best way that I can confirm it is to say, in that situation, a lot of times, the way I understand it, it's more about concepts being shared. It's not like, okay, let's sit down at the negotiating table and here's what we got, here's what you got, let's hammer this out. It's more like, hey, what are you thinking? Oh, this is what we're thinking.
Sure.
Hey, we'll get back to you. You know, and then they probably never got back to each other because, you know, they realized like, okay, that's what they're thinking, this is what we're thinking, and you know what? It's probably not going to go in the direction that
we want.
And so I think that's important context than actually saying, okay, you're at one side of the negotiating table, they're at the other, and it didn't happen. You know what I mean? You almost dip your toe in the water just to get a feel for where it might be headed.
And Mike, even furthermore, you said there's multiple layers to it, and I just know, you know, obviously Halloween last night, being around some friends and hearing about the news, knowing that I do Cleveland Browns Daily, they were inquisitive about Jamie Collins and to understand the layers of it, just like you mentioned. But what something that they kept asking was that he's disgruntled or he was acting out or not running the defense specifically, and that's why he fell out of good grace. Is any of that true, or some of it true, or none of it true?
Well, let's start with this, Matt. I mean, this guy very well liked in the locker room. So, you know, this shook the locker room. So let's start with that. You know, it's not like this is a player who the players didn't want to have around. You know, I mean, this really took them by surprise. That's the first thing. But there was something, Matt, we don't know exactly what it was,
sure.
But there was something going on behind the scenes, because quite frankly, this is not the type of deal you make unless there was. And I know his performance was down a little bit this year. I think that's fair to say, but no way you take that drastic of a step and get just that, you know, limited, I'm going to call it limited compensation, because I think it's fair compensation for a player that technically could be with the team that's acquiring him for just 8 games, you know, but it's not enough to get when you're looking like you're primed for a Super Bowl here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's something more that happened behind the scenes. We just don't know what it is.
No, we don't. Talk with Mike Reese, ESPN NFL Nation reporter from the New England Patriots. You talked about the locker room and the shock. Do you think part of it was, one, to send a message that, hey, nobody is bigger than this team? And secondly, you know, the comments that I saw were from the guy many consider to be one of the best players on that defense, if not the best, safety, Devin McCourty, the Pro Bowler that just did get a long extension from the Patriots, saying that this guy was the best player on our defense. And I'm shocked.
Yeah. Message indeed, and Bill Belichick has sent this before. I could go down the list of players. 2009, Richard Seymour, traded to Oakland for a first-round pick.
Yep.
You know, 2014, guard Logan Mankins, traded to Tampa for a mid-round pick and a tight end who didn't do much for him, and Tim Wright. I mean, that sent a message. And then just this offseason, Chandler Jones. And here's the message, guys. It's that no matter how good or talented you are, or even how much of a locker room type, you know, guy you are, that if you don't, you know, fall in line and do things the way that we want it done, or the, you know, this could happen to you, you know. And I think they want to do a wake up call to this defense, which the bar is set very high. You might look at it and say 7-1, you know, they're not giving up that many points. Bill Belichick's not happy with the way they're playing, and that's the players and the assistant coaches. And this certainly sends a loud message, and they all received it. They might not like it, and quite frankly, if they did like it, I think Bill Belichick would be upset because the message might not be getting through.
Right. Mike, I know you got to run, so last question for me. Tell Browns fans, what kind of player are they getting in Jamie Collins? Obviously, you know, second-team All-Pro is nothing to thumb your nose at. Went to the Pro Bowl last year, led the Patriots in tackles the last 2 seasons. But what kind of a player will they see on the field on Sundays?
Well, unbelievably athletic. You might recall a play where he jumped over the line of scrimmage and blocked, I think it was a point-after attempt a couple years ago. Or, you know, So the athleticism stands out, runs extremely well, really good blitzer up the middle. You know, sometimes those A-gap blitzes, he can get there in a hurry. He's put together games like week three this year against the Texans in primetime that you look at it and say, probably not another linebacker in the league, maybe outside of Luke Kuechly, that would put together that type of game. And then there have been some other games where, you know, you watch him and you say, he's not really a take-on linebacker, you know, playing downhill against the run, where, you know, he's almost taking himself out of gaps at times. So some inconsistencies there. But, look, this is a player a couple years ago that Bill Belichick compared to, you know, uniqueness, from a uniqueness standpoint, to Lawrence Taylor. So, I mean, that tells me something right there. There's some very, very unique physical traits. And the last thing I'd say, very quiet in the locker room. When you interview him, it's going to be shorter, clipped answers, and I think that's just because there's not a great comfort level for him in that setting.
All right, Mike, we appreciate the time and the insight. I know that I'm excited to have Jamie Collins here. This is a defense right now that's had its struggles, and I think anytime you can add a player like that, it's going to be a good thing ultimately for this football team, and you get an opportunity to see if you want to sign him long-term here in these eight games. Mike, we certainly appreciate the time. And by the way, if you decide you want to send Gronk or Tom Brady down here before 4 o'clock, we'll be happy to have you back on the show.
Sounds great, Nathan and Matt. Thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, Mike. All right, you got it. Thank you very much. All right, we'll take our first break. When we come back, let's get some of your reaction. 216-578-0850, Zagura and Wilhelm on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Zenith, the industry leader in protective football technology, is a proud partner of the Cleveland Browns Helmets Program in association with the Ohio Lottery and University Hospitals. Zenith protects the athletes with revolutionary innovation. Learn more at zenith.com. That's XENITH.com. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Matt, I just have to say one thing that I find very difficult to understand is that, and I understand that Bill Belichick is a genius, and yes, but he has proven to trade productive players, guys who have gone on to be Pro Bowlers in their new homes, etc., multiple times in his career. Why, when this team has been killed for letting guys go who have not made impacts anywhere else?
Cleveland Browns, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And losing these guys, you know, Tashaun Gibson has struggled mightily with Jacksonville. Travis Benjamin battling injuries has had been okay, pretty nondescript so far.
I would say hot and cold.
Yeah, he's had a couple good games, but, you know.
But is that not what he did here with Cleveland?
Of course.
Consistency was the issue.
And he hasn't even taken the next step with, and believe me, I love Travis Benjamin, but hasn't taken the next step with Phillip Rivers. Mitchell Schwartz has been a fine right tackle. And then Alex Mack is the one guy of the four that has been regarded at his position as highly as Jamie Collins has been regarded at his. He's the only one of those guys. And then you talk about the Paul Krugers and the Danzies, the elder guys who were kind of let go as you swept them out to give playing time to your younger guys. So what I think is interesting is that this team was killed for stripping its roster, this, that, whatever. They just turned basically a pick in the later than 96 or a fourth round pick into a Pro Bowler and a guy that was regarded more highly at his position than anybody they let go, other than or probably on par with Mac. But Mac didn't want to stay. You couldn't force him to stay. So to me, it is a very interesting scenario that this move is being met with skepticism. By the way, for those people who say, well, what if he doesn't sign here? If you're the Browns, you can't lose anything. Why? Because if he leaves as a free agent, now granted, you can franchise him, but if he leaves as a free agent, you're going to get a compensatory pick that's basically about the same thing that you traded away a year later. So for the Browns, you're getting this guy at a minimum for eight games and giving up nothing.
Right.
Except for 1 year of a pick.
So,
and in the best case scenario, you have a foundation piece that you can start to build around. Because when you look at this team, realistically, you've got Agba and Nassib now up front that you feel good about. Danny Shelton has been very good.
Kirksey.
And then at the linebackers, now you have Kirksey.
DeMario Davis is only, what, 27 years old?
27, who is certainly a plus player. But now, and then you would have Jamie Collins. But I think that gives you five potentially plus guys in your front seven.
Again, and you can continue to go, you know, on with your take, but I think DeMario Davis becomes a two-down linebacker for us, the same way that Danny Shelton was a two-down defensive lineman as a rookie. you know, there's we've upgraded the linebacker position with Jamie Collins. You have to get him on the field. So DeMario Davis, and I think, and also for Ray Horton, you give him flexibility now with what you can do, where we have a young front that's growing into their own and learning an awful lot about the NFL and playing good in stretches and making errors in some where a veteran offensive line or a veteran offensive lineman gets the best of one of the players along the defensive line. So they're learning, which is only going to be good as this season goes on, and I expect them to continue to play well as Nassib had a good game and Agba's had a good game. Danny Shelton's been very consistent at a high level where they're going to learn and be great next, and they're going to be a lot better next year. So, but to your point, DeMario Davis becomes a two-down linebacker to stop the run, and you get him off the field.
Well, let's look at it this way, too, because this team, all right, in the base 3-4, people are saying, what's going to happen here? In your base 3-4, I believe he replaces Schobert at the other outside line, at the strong side linebacker spot, which is what he played in New England's 3-4. So you would have, as you look at your defense, you'd have up front some combination of Shelton, you know, Meter, Nassib, Xavier Cooper, Paya, three of those guys. You'd have one outside linebacker. You'd probably have Emmanuel Agba. At the other, now you'd have Jamie Collins. Agba would really be playing more like in that rush linebacker job, like a fourth defensive lineman. You'd have Collins who can cover, can rush, he can drop, he can do it all. In the middle, you'd have Davis and Kirksey. Now, though, you have some significant flexibility to go 4-3 and have a front where you've got Agba and Nassib as your DNs. You've got Paya and Shelton inside, or Paya and or Shelton and Meter, or Shelton and Cooper inside. Now your linebackers, you have a true Mike in DeMario Davis. You have a very good Will in Christian Kirksey. And now you have that Sam, the strong side linebacker, in Jamie Collins.
Sure.
And so your 4-3 front is actually pretty appealing. And now when you think about the draft coming up, there are some very talented defense players you can add to that mix. But this gives them the flexibility on the 3-4. And as you talked about in the sub package, you'll have that probably that similar four-man front up front. But you'll have your linebackers going to be Kirksey and Collins, both of whom can blitz, because we've seen Kirksey actually be pretty effective blitzing the quarterback this year, both of whom can cover,
right,
and both of whom can stop the run.
And yeah, absolutely, I agree with that, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's something we see a lot of against with the Dallas Cowboys and our ability to stop the run as that offense goes, as Ezekiel Elliott and his production go. And even furthermore, I've been a part of something like this with Wade Phillips in San Diego when we got a boatload of very, very gifted pass rushing and talented cover linebackers. You know, myself, Stephen Cooper, Donnie Edwards was a part of it before I was. I kind of learned from him to become a cover guy. Sean Merriman, Shad Phillips. And the one thing that we always used to do, and even furthermore, playing in Green Bay with Dom Capers, who has that like amoeba, you know, defense with, you know, one defensive lineman with his hand on the ground and everybody else walking around pre-snap. And I think you got very, very gifted athletic defensive linemen in Carl Nassib, Emmanuel Agba, who can rush the passer out of a two-point stance if needed.
Yep.
Or late in the, you know, in the play clock, put their hand on the ground, get where they need to go. But everyone, there's an uncertainty about the walking around, you know, and kind of showing one thing and playing another, or the disorientation that happens when you can't identify who the Mike linebacker is. And I think you add a guy like Jamie Collins to this mix who can be productive in coverage, who can be productive rushing the passer and against the run, where you get Kirksey, Davis, and Collins all walking around, Agba, you know, meandering around, Nassib maybe with his hand on the ground as one end, and then Danny Shelton at three technique. So you're semi-stout versus the run, but ultimately, so many quarterbacks and centers can't identify where that blitz is coming from. And that's something that maybe Ray Horton has in his bag, or maybe it's something that he's creating on the fly now once he gets in Jamie Collins, see how quickly he can pick up the terminology and the different coverages that we're going to play this week, because you love to have him out there and active on this roster ASAP.
Oh, I think you get him out there and you play him. So that's what I wanted to ask you. How difficult is it for him to come here
depends.
And play?
It depends. I don't know Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins has only played in one system in New England.
Well, and they've played hybrid, so he's played both 3-4.
Right, but
and
I meant the verbiage has all been the same. The verbiage is sometimes the hardest. You know, and then there's multiple layers. Is the biggest thing first and foremost is almost like Cody Kessler taking over and becoming a starter. It's coming from a West Coast system and then learning all of Hugh's terminology. So Jamie Collins, first and foremost, at least the way I like to learn is, what do they call what we used to call in New England? You know, when we're bringing a middle dog cross, they used to call it this, and now the Browns call it this. You know what? So you try to find apples to apple scenarios to help this guy bridge the gap to learn the terminology first, and then the underlying thing is working with, you know, your linebacker coach, Coach Slowick. It's going to be a combination because he's an inside outside guy, working with the linebacker coaches as well as Ray Horton to learn the techniques he's going to be asked to play in those defenses that he just learned, and then lastly, I talked about it as a rookie. It's me, we, then them. And I think for a guy like Jamie Collins, it's like, okay, what do I do in these defenses first? Okay. And then why am I doing it and how is it relevant to everyone around me? That's the we. And then he's definitely going to get the we because he's been them, because it's studying film and learning what the Cowboys are going to do and how they're going to attack the Cleveland Browns. So he's really got to focus today is going to be a big day. So getting him here as soon as possible, getting him in a few hours worth of meetings with the defensive coaches to understand him, what he's comfortable with, what they're going to ask of him on a very short notice, you know, with the game, you know, 4 or 5 days away.
What's realistic for how many snaps he can play?
I would say realistic snaps for him is 35 to 40.
Okay.
Defensive snaps, which would probably be 60%.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Cleveland Browns are going to know exactly who he is and where he played in New England. And we're going to do everything we can for a player like him, even though we might like Carl Nassib in a situation or Ogba in a situation or Kirksey in this certain, you know, certain spot in our defense. When you get a guy like him, you bump that player to get Jamie Collins on the field doing what he has done in New England and to make it feel as comfortable for him and want him to be producing in a Browns uniform.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, and you want to see him get out there. And we'll talk about it again. 2 o'clock, John Costco is going to join us from Pro Football Focus with some good pass rushing numbers. I think that the Browns see him as more than just an inside linebacker, a guy who can come off the edge, which is why I think in some of those bases, and in the 4-3, you can play him in that strong, that Sam linebacker, and then in the 3-4, you can play him in the Sam linebacker as well on the strong side where you have Ogba rushing off the other side. But this is a guy, incredible athlete, a Pro Bowler, as I said. He is a guy who has led the team in tackles each of the last 2 years, speaking of the New England Patriots, and I think he's going to be hungry to come here and get paid. And I mean that in the right way. That is a motivating factor, and I
yes.
think that he is a guy that has the potential to be a cornerstone piece on this defense.
I agree with you 100%, and as we asked the questions earlier about, you know, why this has like a negative feel for the Cleveland Browns getting the player that we're getting. And the one thing that I could come to grips with on why some Browns fans might be upset is you're getting a guy from the Patriots who's been very, very successful in that scheme, but he was cast off by Bill Belichick, who everyone, you know, regards as an absolute genius. So if you're a cast off, that means you're no good or something's wrong with you. And then you come to an organization that right now sits at 0-8, but's got significant money and history in free agency, puts a bad taste in Browns fans' mouths because a guy's going to come in here, demand Luke Kuechly, Von Miller-ish type of money, $12 million a year with, you know, 40-some-odd million dollars guaranteed, and we're going to give it to him. And based on past history, those players haven't produced making that kind of money here in Cleveland. So that's why you go, oh, he's going to come here. He's going to get broke off. We're going to pay him all this money. We're still going to be bad, and he's not going to be as was advertised. And I think that's the one negative to me that I could immediately jump to go, he's going to come here, get paid, and then not be the player that he was.
And certainly hope that he comes here and is even better.
Sure.
I think it would be hard for him not to see the way that he is getting crucified by not the Patriots media, but Mike Lombardi has taken a ton of shots at him. Patriots Twitter, all of a sudden, these guys, just like when Chandler Jones got traded, all the shots taken at Chandler Jones, who's gone out and played at a Pro Bowl level. Here are some notable Patriots players released or traded by Bill Belichick since he has been there. In 2002, Drew Bledsoe. 2002, Lawyer Malloy. Remember, Lawyer Malloy cut after game one of that season and then went to the Buffalo Bills, who promptly defeated the Patriots in rousing fashion. Ty Law, Willie McGinnis, Deion Branch, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, who went on to have multiple Pro Bowl years after that, Randy Moss, obviously Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, Chandler Jones, and Jamie Collins. This guy... And that doesn't even include free agents like Aqib Talib, who he let walk, who's gone on to be incredibly productive, right, with the Denver Broncos, won a Super Bowl. Adam Vinatieri, who we let walk, who's just set the NFL record for most consecutive field goals.
He didn't still have it. I don't know who does. But I think here's the point is, did Bill Belichick know that his leg and his age weren't worth it for him there at Gillette Stadium,
well,
playing
his
outdoors as much as they do?
Felt,
correct.
They felt that, obviously, and they've done fine at the kicker position. But it is to say that Bill Belichick, everybody who leaves there goes on to lose all productivity is absolutely incorrect. I think it is going to be very, very interesting to see how this is going to go, and I'm excited to get him in here. This is a guy that has the opportunity to be a legitimate foundation piece for the Browns on their defense over the next 4 years. And I think you look at him with Kirksey, Shelton, Ogba, Nassib, and I think you're starting to see, okay, there's a little bit of a core there that could be had. Now, the Browns have to sign him. That will cost money. But guess what? All of you say, well, the Browns have a lot of money. They're basically going to be able to pay this guy a little bit more than they would have paid Alex Mack, and that's basically the trade that's happening. Alex Mack didn't want to be here. What the comp you got for Alex Mack is what brought Jamie Collins here. So I think this has an opportunity to be a very good move long-term for the Browns. 216-578-0850. Call us up. Give us your take again. John Costco is going to come with some very good information at 2 o'clock about Jamie Collins. Something that I think will surprise you about how good he's been as a pass rusher in his career. And I think that's something that the Browns are looking to bring in and exploit. We got after further review as well. So call us up. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Go to the phone lines now. We've got Dave in Akron with us. Dave, welcome.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, Jamie Collins, you know, I watched I really like watching the Patriots play, you know, I love Brady, so I've watched them pretty much every game they played this year, and the guy, he is an absolute beast out there. There's no doubt about it. He does freelance a little bit, as people have said, and maybe that irked Bill a little bit. I've heard they were trying to get a contract done, and you know how he is. He did it right before the bye, which is, you know, it's their bye. They brought in the Van Hoy guy. They probably think they could get him ready to go, yeah. Which I don't understand. Everybody doesn't want to question him. But, like, to me, I would be more of let's get it done now, because how long are you going to coach and how long is Brady going to play? You know, I don't know why they even worry about next year and next year's draft. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you should try to win every Super Bowl you can in the next 5 years when you have Brady. But, you know, sometimes as a middle linebacker, as Matt knows, stats are kind of, you know, tackles are kind of, if your ends are really good, you are going to get a lot of tackles as a middle linebacker.
They funnel a lot to Jamie Collins.
There's no doubt about it. So there's that. But I think you may be right about they might use him in a little different way than Bill was using him. But I still don't get why he thinks about the future so much when really their future is now, isn't it? I mean, why do you think he cares about it in 4 years if he has a trap?
They may feel their window with Brady is really big.
Well, I mean, and to go back, if you think about this one from one standpoint, what about the Logan Mankins deal? You trade Logan Mankins, who was at the time a Pro Bowl All-Pro guard, and replaced him with an undrafted free agent when you have to protect Tom Brady. They don't care. He's like the honey badger. Bill Belichick don't care.
Yeah, but why does he care about the future when, like, I mean, come on.
Because that's how they have
Brady
always
goes,
they
he's
have
going to go, and he wouldn't care about the organization. He's not even going to be in the organization.
Because it's just the way that the Patriots do business. You think about, I mean, they trade Richard Seymour at the peak of his career. He went on to have multiple Pro Bowl seasons with the Raiders. They trade him for a first-round pick. They are not afraid to do this, and they've done it for a long time. Long time. And I think, you know, Bill Belichick, it's funny, everybody talks about analytics with the Browns. The team that has been at the forefront of analytics in the National Football League and talking to people around the league is the Patriots. They've been doing it for a long time. They have understood the value of all these draft picks for a long, long time,
but
and have taken advantage of it because they haven't even been great drafters.
When is a guy who is 30 years old on that team and is like, okay, we can win it now. Now we trade one of our best players. When is that going to be like, dude, I don't care about 5 years from now as a player standpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I think they believe in their system. They believe in their ability to coach up guys, and they would say, well, the year we got rid of Logan Mankins and replaced him with an undrafted free agent guard, guess what? We won the Super Bowl. So they feel that they can do it. They have a six-round pick I know that they have liked so far. They feel that they have time to go through it, and that's just that it's the Patriot way. It just truly is. That's the Patriot way. I mean, you know, we're talking about our opinions on it, which is all good and dandy, but, you know, you look at what a guy like Devin McCourty says, and Devin McCourty is shocked, and you wonder, it is a message that's sent to the locker room, and I happen to know somebody very close to Devin McCourty. He's flabbergasted. He doesn't understand it at all. He truly thought like that Matt, Towns was the best player, but they believe in Bill.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would like to ask Matt, like, if he was in that locker room, would he be going like, you know, are you worried for your job, or are you like, okay, this is kind of dumb. He's like a great player, and we got a chance to win it this year.
Yeah, I think it's – to answer your question, and we appreciate your call and your insight, I think it's a lot of everything that you just said if I were a player in that locker room because of what Jamie – how well-liked he was. We heard yesterday, you know, from all those guys, what a great athlete he was. You've talked about analytically breaking down where he ranks as an inside linebacker and outside linebacker, for that matter, with Pro Football Focus. So he is just a very productive individual, and I would imagine – that conversations by agents with their clients who are, in fact, New England Patriots that might either be in those in the parameters of a, you know, a prime player who, or a player who is in his prime or coming into his prime, and also in a certain age bracket that the New England Patriots might see as valuable trading commodity, or maybe even a player like, dude, you keep doing what you're doing. Either the Patriots are going to pay you or they're just going to trade you away somewhere else. That starts giving you, and I know the winning that the Patriots have and the Patriot way that you talked about will always persevere, but that starts creeping into, I would imagine, starts creeping into a player's mind and goes, like, am I the next one?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to take it off field a little bit, it's like, and I know money's money and it's a business, but it's, man, I got a wife and kids. I just bought a house. Like, I am cemented in this greater New England area, and I feel like I'm a part of something. And the building, as he said, the winning that's happening there. And yet, by being productive and being a great player, I become a trade commodity because of how the New England Patriots do business.
Yeah, and again, it's just that's the way that
so
they
can
have
you sell,
always
they
done
sell
it
out for Bill, but yet Bill can sell them at the drop of a hat.
But they know that. And they know, I mean, it's, I think it's one thing about it. It's not,
well,
secret.
I mean, the
it's
past history. Yeah, it's transparent as all can be because of past history. You're absolutely right.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Reggie in Youngstown now. Reggie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. Haven't talked to you in a while. Hey, listen, I just wanted to say, Matt, in general, you know, I'd be listening to what you guys be saying and some of the callers and stuff, man. But the thing to me is what I'm concerned with, I love my Cleveland Browns and always will, without a doubt. I'm sticking with them. But the problem that I see, Matt, and regardless of who we get, you guys might not agree, man, until these guys learn how to tackle, they're the defensive tackling, and that's what the main cause of defense is, as you know, is to make them tackles. It's atrocious, man. I mean, it stinks. I don't know what's going on, why these guys can't tackle, man. It's not going to make any difference to who you get. If people aren't tackling, you got to have more than one guy. Jamie, that we're getting from the Patriots, great player, without a doubt. And I'm hoping he doesn't fall into this system of our Browns of not being able to tackle. I don't think he's going to have the problem because we see he's an all-pro player. But sometimes being in that system where other people ain't performing, it makes you play the same way, and I'm hoping that don't happen. It stink, man. The Browns tackling on their defense and stuff, it stink. It ain't no way of us looking at it any other way but the fact of what it is. And I just don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference as far as this year until these guys get the tackle. It's unexcusable.
Well,
I
can
care
tell
if they're young
you,
or not.
On the season, Jamie Collins has 5 missed tackles total, 0 in the run game in support in the run defense. He has not missed a tackle in run defense yet. So he has been a very effective tackler this season. And if you go into Pro Football Focuses and go into their signature stats, which is one of the things that you can look at, and it's one of the cool things. We'll talk with John Costco about it as well. But when you look at the signature stats for tackling, Jamie Collins, in terms of his tackle percentage, tackling efficiency, has been one of the very best in the National Football League this season, which is something that should be music to the ears of Cleveland Browns fans.
But we got to get the other – we have to get the other guys to be able to tackle. I realize he coming out of a good system far as tackling and doing all the things we need him. But what about the other guys, Matt, the secondary? It stink, man.
It is bad, and you excuse me. You have to understand what we're starting back there, you know.
Yeah, but they still should be able to tackle.
No, I get it. And I think it's. Believe me, I was out there in training camp watching the tackling drills. That after a bad preseason game where we didn't tackle well, that Ray Horton and his defensive staff put these guys through like a tackling circuit, and emphasizing tackling. Now that's difficult to do when the season starts, because individuals cut shorter and your emphasis is more on game planning and the team that you're playing. But like I said, Tracy Howard starting back there, Brian Body Calhoun, you know, who went out early in the football game after the you know, the hit with Fitzpatrick. Joe Hayden, not the most overly physical player anymore.
No,
he's very physical as a corner when the ball is run to him on the edge. But when he's in space, just kind of throw your body at somebody, and you're not wrapping, the legs. You're not, driving your feet. You're just throwing your body at them.
They're all doing it. That's the problem. I could see if it's one or two guys, you say, well, yeah, I understand that, and we'll just have to get somebody else. But, man, when the whole secondary in general, I mean, them guys kind of, I love my Brown. But them guys kind of out there was looking like clowns, man. That's ridiculous, Matt. Come on, man. You know better than that.
Listen, nobody's disagreeing with you that the Browns have to do a better job of tackling. I think anybody who watches a football game sees that and sees that this is a team that needs to do a better job there, and they're getting a guy at an important spot who hopefully can help that, because the tackling right now for the Browns is not good.
Okay, my brothers. Well, I appreciate talking to you all, and I'll be listening, okay?
You got it, man.
All right,
thank you, Bob.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Yeah, this is a Browns team right now. This is, again, Pro Football Focus's numbers. They've missed 53 tackles. The biggest culprits, Derek Kindred with 9, DeMario Davis with 6 on this season. So, yes, they have to do a better job of finding a way to tackle and finish up. It's been an epidemic so far this year. You just look for a comparison's sake, 53 missed tackles for the Browns. Let's take the Patriots, the team that Jamie Collins came from this season in terms of missed tackles. Now, they're a similar number. They're right at 56, so it's interesting that people think that the Browns are having a bad problem with it. It seems that when the Browns do, it ends up in a big play every single time, not getting enough guys there to swarm over and finish it. 216-578-0850. When we come back, we're going to hear from Corey Coleman, who will make his return to the Cleveland Browns this week and provide, hopefully, a much-needed boost to the passing game opposite Terrell Pryor.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Visit Wayside Furniture in Akron and enter to win 6 luxury lounge seats and new flex steel furniture. Details at wayside-furniture.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. Let's go now to the podium and hear from Corey Coleman, the Browns rookie receiver. We haven't seen him since week 2 when he hung 5 catches for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I'm ready for more of that.
The Ravens in only his second NFL game. We are all ready for more of that. Here is what Corey Coleman has to say.
Corey, coach gave us the news. You've been cleared. You're good to go. So, just talk about just the opportunity now to get back out there and do what you were doing early in the season.
I did get cleared. That's exciting. Had a final x-ray this morning, and everything's perfect. Healed up just the way we wanted to. I'm excited to get back out there with the guys. I know they've been working, extremely hard, trying to get a win. So I'm happy to be back out there, and I'm going to help them out.
You don't have to play play? Do you have to play with any protective apparatus on the hand at all?
No, ma'am. I'm clear. I'm good.
You caught a ball yet?
Yeah, I caught a couple today with Cody Kessler. Just we're in here by ourselves. Everybody else was in meetings. And we went out to ask him if he can throw me a couple balls.
Feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
How hard has it been to watch the team lose week after week after week and know that you just can't be out there to help?
It's really hard, but, you know, those guys go out there and fight each and every week. They don't give up, so it's more exciting watching them, you know, fight and stuff. And I know that we haven't won a game, but, you know, it's still hope, and they're not giving up. So that shows a lot about the guys in this room.
What is the level of difficulty for you now to come back, step right in, and try and pick up where you left off?
I don't think it's difficult at all. I think I just got to, you know, go back there, get the feeling, you know, get the time with the quarterback, and I think I'm going to do just fine.
How much do you feel like, you know, when you look out there, do you feel like you can make a significant impact and kind of really help jumpstart this offense?
When I look out there, I know I could contribute to the team. They wouldn't have drafted me here. And like I said, it's difficult, it's tough, but, you know, no one's giving up. You know, the season's, you know, far from over. So, you know, we're going to come back to work and fight and keep on going.
Corey, what do you mean to make your return here against your hometown team?
You know, that means a lot. You know, I'm from Dallas. All my family's going to be here. You know, this really they're a really good football team, too. So, you know, it means everything. So I'm excited to go out there and really play and, you know, help this team be successful.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Next question.
So when you say all your family, is it going to be like a larger group than at any game before? Or?
Right, and it's my first game. I'm back. So, you know, they all want to see me play.
Darrell said last week he's excited for you to come back because maybe you'll take some of those double teams away from him. Has he told you that, how much he misses you and having you out
there? Yeah, Terrell's funny. He's a really good guy. You know, he got high energy, and I'm excited to be back on the field with him too.
Is it important for you to help him out in that way, though, taking some attention away?
It's important for me to help out our whole team. I wouldn't just single out one person, but help our whole team.
What about you know, the return game? Could use a shot in the arm, too, a little bit. I mean, do you feel with the hand, are you ready to do that, too?
I'm ready. Whatever they want me to do, I'm down for it.
Corey, there's obviously a difference between being out there and playing, practicing every day, and being in meetings and studying game film and that. But from that perspective, the fact that you've had basically 6 weeks of that, or where you're just basically, you know, in meetings watching film and that, from the intellectual side of the game, how much sharper do you think you might be now as opposed to maybe 8 weeks ago?
You know, it's easy to go in there and watch film and get all these notes and do all this stuff, but you got to actually put it on the field. So, you know, I know the stuff, but it's easy for me just to say, oh, I can go out there and do it. But you got to actually, you know, put on the cleats and go out there and actually do it. So I think it'll be good, you know, starting practice Wednesday, you know, just attack it with mindset that, you know, I haven't been hurt. I haven't been out for 6 weeks.
Corey, you've had between the hamstring and camp and now the hand, you've had so many stops and starts. How important is it for you to try and string together, you know, 8 games here?
It's important, but, you know, you really can't control too many injuries. Just, you know, it was a freak accident how my hand got broke. But, like I said, I'm excited to go out there and, you know, play the game of football again. A lot of people take it for granted, but, you know, actually being out and just watching, being on the sideline, it's just crazy.
The Browns traded for Jamie Collins, say, was a Pro Bowl linebacker last year for the Patriots. What does it mean to you that when you have the front office and coaches have to go out and get a guy like that?
It's really exciting. He's a fantastic football player. He's a Pro Bowler. Adding more pieces to his team. I think the guys upstairs and Coach Jackson are doing a great job trying to mold this team and build a team that they want to have.
The Browns wide receiver Corey Coleman's going to have everybody on hand going against a team he grew up watching and loving. I'm sure it's going to be quite a moment for him to play against the Dallas Cowboys
for sure.
In his return. And this is a deep one. Mo Claiborne's banged up. He's out for the Cowboys. He's going to have an opportunity against secondary to make some plays.
Start him. Start him or sit him. Start him.
Start him. Stutter crud. Stud. All right, we're going to take a break. That's our first hour in the books. We want to hear more from you. Actually, I'm sorry. Do we have Jim in Akron? Let's go to Jim in Akron. Jim, welcome.
What's going on, fellas?
Good, how you man. Doing, man?
I'm going to be a Browns fan till I die, but the clock management in these games, I mean, I think it's really cost us a couple of games. I mean, we use two timeouts to get the ball back with 4 minutes, and it's like we get a first down, and there's no sense of urgency to get to the line of scrimmage. We waste so much time. I think it was the Tennessee game. It was like we got a first down. Clock the ball. We wasted 50 seconds. We could have used that at the end.
Jim, you're absolutely right. And I found myself sitting in the bleachers. And I sometimes have to flip a switch in my head because I play, I coached in high school, and of course I'm very in tune to the Buckeyes, where when you get a first down, the clock stops. So you can get that play called and run up and maybe only, maybe burn 4, 5, 6 seconds before you actually snap the football, as opposed to 25, 26, 27 seconds. I thought the same thing. Run up and spike the ball. And it allows
get
to the line of scrimmage, spike the ball, and then it allows Hugh Jackson to have a moment to, A, get lined up right, to know how they're going to defend us, and then to call the right play and attack what they do instead of just running a play. Because you'd be surprised when you're in a 2-minute, 4-minute situation, you've got maybe 3 or 4 plays that you're going to get lined up in and run, and it's going to be very redundant and repetitive against a soft coverage.
Yeah, if you clock the ball, then you can make your substitution.
Exactly.
We're trying to make substitutions. They're not getting set. It's like, my goodness, we got the touchdown, but we got it with 14 seconds left.
You're right. And even furthermore, Jim, the one thing that was a little frustrating to me and I know you pointed out yesterday with, Duke Johnson and his productive in the passing game coming via checkdown. Duke Johnson would catch the ball on a checkdown, run it for 25, 27 yards, make some guys miss on that last drive, and then tap himself out. So he would run up on the sideline, and Isaiah Crowell would have to run in on the sideline, and it's not much of a communication for the back. It's most likely in protection and then checking his way out, just as Duke did. But still, it's like, have some urgency. Like, you aren't that tired to be able to go out and check release again.
Yeah. Drag yourself to the backfield, say, hey,
correct.
Clock the ball,
Whatever. I'm a little bit with you, and again, it was something that I was very critical of myself. I'm not going to open my mouth about it because it's not I'm not a professional football player anymore or a coach to know what was being asked of these players in that situation.
We're moving in the right direction. It hasn't transferred into wins yet, but I'm not ready to give up. All these people say we're the worst team. I don't see it. We're young. We need to work on our tackling, like the guys said before, and our clock management. I think we're doing well, and then you get a Pro Bowler with this steal of a trade, I think we're going to be all right.
I think so as well. Appreciate the call, Jim, very much.
Thanks.
When we come back, John Costco will be back with us from Pro Football Focus, giving you all you need to know about the Jamie Collins trade, what kind of player the Browns have gotten from an analytics standpoint, and I think you'll be pretty pleased with what you have to hear. We're coming up next on CBD.